Welcome to WHO, an empowered family advancing the Father's culture in all the earth. The following is a podcast of our Sunday gathering. For more resources or to connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.
I have really good news. I don't want to speak very long. So it's really good news. I have a little testimony first. Okay. If you were in Vision Night, if you were here on the Vision Night, one of the things that we were charged with, I want to say charged because it wasn't a suggestion. Like, I mean, there are obviously things that were for you and maybe not for you, but there was one thing that in particular that wasn't necessarily a suggestion. And that was, in my opinion, that was to start working towards fixing a relationship that may have been broken. I really didn't look at that one as a, hey, this would be a nice to do. I really think that that's one that's essential towards our growth, like truly essential to us moving forward in what we want to do here and building what we want to build. So I had this one relationship. I still have this one relationship. But I had this really just horrible gut feeling about this one relationship. And I knew I had to do it. So I sent that person a text. And it was like last week. Maybe Monday. I don't know. Like the beginning of last week. And the whole week, I didn't get a response. And it just made me, it didn't make me. I chose to feel a certain way about it. Like, I almost was getting deeper in my, like, see? Like, I shouldn't have done this. This person's not responding. The person just responded to me during worship, just like right now. So, do your part on that one. This is my, like, disclaimer, even before I get into what I want to speak of. Do your part. And there's going to be some hard ones where you're like, I've been doing this forever. Do your part. Just do your part. We're not asking you to fix the relationship. We're saying do your part in mending any relationship that's out there broken. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. After Mark was on Sunday, he talked about leaving your offering here and then going mending that relationship. The Father values these relationships more than he values your offering, that thing that you could leave right there. I mean, it says it right there. Leave your offering and go what? Like, fix that thing. And then come back to me. Our relationships are that important. Are that important. All right. I don't want to speak long because I want to pray longer. Okay? Is that me? That has to be me, right? I guess it wouldn't be anybody else. I hope. Does somebody else? I really want to pray longer. Because I think there's something about laying of hands today in so many different areas of our life that I was walking through Giant yesterday, and literally from Wednesday when I taught Wednesday till about Friday afternoon, I had nothing. Like, I was like, Lord, what am I going to bring on Sunday? And he was like, you know what? You're fine. Like, so it was silence. It was really silence. And then around Friday night, something started percolating. And then I had to go to Giant. And I'm walking through Giant, and the Lord's talking to me. And I'm on the verge of, like, tears and crying through Giant. I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble right now. Like, people in public, I'm, like, crying. And I'm just wondering what I look like to people, but I really don't care. Like, I really don't care that much. But not the crying thing. I didn't want to do the crying thing walking through Giant. That's just not cool. But that's where I was. I had to get to the point where I said to the Lord, Lord, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. And he's like, finally, I can do something with you. Because you had all this stuff that you thought was your stuff. And now that you said, I have nothing. Now. All right, let me give you what I got. We need to reassess everything. Everything. And we need to reassess everything under the lens of the Father's love. Everything. Everything. So regardless of what you think about any type of theological topic, you had salvation and sanctification and restoration and redemption. You list them all, and if they're not filtered through the lens of a loving father, it needs to be reassessed. That's not a suggestion. I'm telling you, you will see it differently when you decide to view it through the lens of a loving father. And for some reason, we tend to think that we're actually more loving than God, because there's things that we wouldn't do to our own children that we'd be like, well, God would strike that person, you know? But you wouldn't. And we put a lot of qualifiers to God. Like, God loves you, but he's holy. Like, his holiness supersedes his love for you. Or, God loves you, but he's a just God. So all these buts that we put in that really we put there so that we could stay in check. Like, we could have the proper amount of scared. I don't want to say fear, because there's a really good thing about fear, but scared of the Father that we're not supposed to have. Like, I don't want my son, when I call his name, to his reaction to be, I don't want to come. Right? I don't want that. So, I am going to jump off a little bit of what we talked about on Wednesday. And if you weren't here on Wednesday, then, well, that's my passive-aggressive way of saying, maybe you should come on Wednesday. I don't know. Like, maybe you should consider that. But we talked about judgment. That's so funny. I want to jump off of there a little bit. We need to view judgment through the eyes of a loving father. All right? And I think what happens when that word judgment comes out, like, automatically we recoil, because we're waiting for punishment. But that's not the perspective of a loving father. So, to us, judgment, like, the opposite of judgment would be mercy. But that's not an opposite to God. And I think this really actually speaks to the true sovereignty of God. Not that he can do everything or anything that he wants to, but anything can be reconciled in him. Like, when I think about it that way, it actually describes a loving father way more than, hey, God could do anything that he wants at any time. Can he? Sure. Does he? No. He doesn't. You've never seen that in his nature. Because it almost sounds like a dad who walks in and says, do what I want because I said so. It never goes over that well. But through the lens of a loving father, judgment and mercy and grace are not opposites. I can't reconcile that. I have a hard time reconciling those things. I think that judgment is judgment and mercy is mercy. But that's not what it is to the Father. To the Father, judgment is a mother that births twins. They are mercy and grace. You hear that? Because you can't give mercy or extend grace to something that hasn't been judged. You can't. You have to assess a thing. You have to look at it and say, well, what is this? I need to bring some judgment to it, and then I fill that gap with mercy and grace. That's the Father. So, this is why I don't want to talk so long, because I really want to pray over filling in the gaps with mercy and grace in every area of life today. So, let me tell you about my experience with Frank Disbro this week. And it was after I taught about judgment on Wednesday. So it was almost like the Father was like, come over here, I really want to teach you about judgment. So Frank, and I didn't tell Frank I was going to tell this story. So Frank, you could, if it's not cool, you could tell me after I tell the story. But Frank puts on Facebook, that's why I'm not that worried about it. Frank puts on Facebook that he has a pond in the back, and the pond has a leak. Okay? Now, Frank right now is of the, you know, he's not interested in fixing it. All right? And that's fine. I'm kind of looking forward to that day where I'm like, I'm not interested in fixing that. But, you know, it's done with. So he has this pond, and it has a leak, and there's all these fish in it, right? They're beautiful fish. They're like beautiful colors all over there. They like, and they're living in this place. So, and talk about a humbling experience. Like he put on Facebook, if anybody wants to fish, come, and I have a pond that I would love to put fish in. And so I go over to his house, and it was even cooler than that because I wasn't going to go because I had a lot of work to do, and then the internet went out in my house. So I was like, oh, I need to go get a new router, and the place that I go get a new router is, guess by who, like, where is it? It's like 2 miles from Frank's house. So I'm like, okay, God, no problem. I'm gonna go get my router. If I have time, I'm gonna swing by the house. I have time. So I swing by the house, and it's like, imagine, I'm not outdoorsy at all, but imagine me getting humbled, and I am failing at trying to catch a fish in a 4x4 pond. All right, like, you should be able to catch fish in a 4x4 pond, and he's draining the water out. So it's not like, you know, this is a hard situation. Shooting fish in a barrel is not as easy as they say it is. All right. Well, for me. So we're there in this pond, and the pond is not a good situation now for the fish to live in, right? Has a leak in it. Frank's not going to fix it. In this place, they're going to die. But I come along, and I have this fish net. And what's my intention? My intention is that I'm going to fish these fish out, and I'm going to bring them to a place that they'll live. What do the fish think I'm going to do? Kill them. The fish think that I'm coming to kill them, and I think that's how we think about our Father. The Father comes, and they sees this thing, and he's like, this situation's not good for you. I want to take you out of this place, and I think he's going to kill me. I'm kinder than God is in my eye. Like, I'm coming here to kill you, fish. Nobody's ever said that. Frank was like, I want these fish to live. So here we are, and man, fish are fast. But not only fish are fast, but they know where to hide. So the second the net goes in, they start, in an act of self-preservation, diving into these rocks to save themselves within the very thing that's killing them. And that's what we do with the Father so many times. He comes and he's like, hey, this is judgment of the Father. This is not good for you. Not, I'm going to kill you. See, so many times we think the judgment is, hey, all right. This is not good for you, so I have to kill you. Like, that makes no sense at all. That makes no sense. And that is not the lens of a loving Father. But in my self-preservation mode, I'm like, I'm very comfortable with this sin. So I'm going to hide under it, and I'm going to dig as deep as I can so you can't find me. Because I think my intention is, your intention is that you're going to kill me. But your intention actually is that you want to bring me life. This is the judgment of the Father. The judgment of the Father is never separated from mercy and grace, ever. Ever. And that's why I say that judgment is a mother that births mercy and grace. James, I want to say it's James 2, but James 2 says, my judgment will be merciless to those who do not show mercy. By mercy triumphs over judgment. When we make judgment and mercy adversaries, when they can't like coexist in the same area, then judgment has to triumph over mercy. Mercy has to triumph over judgment, excuse me. But when they coexist, and when mercy can be birthed out of judgment, well, judgment doesn't need to triumph. It just needs to show. It shows. So here we are. We're trying to get these fish out. Right? Fish are like going everywhere. Water's draining. So the first thing that we had to do, once we noticed that, like, we're not getting these fish with all their hiding places, is he had these beautiful lily roots, like these lilies, water lilies. And they had just implanted themselves into the pond. And this is what the Father does for us, and it stinks when it happens. It really hurts, but it's so good because it takes away the hiding places. But we needed to get into the pond and uproot those lilies and take them out, all right? Take them out of the very environment and put them over here so that the fish had no place to hide anymore. And in that, we think God's judging it. Like, oh, you're ripping this very thing. And he's saying, oh, I'm not letting you hide in that place. Because remember, this place is going to bring you death. Like, it's going to bring you death. The place I have for you will bring you life. So let me rip this thing out. I know it's going to hurt, but let me rip this thing out so I can see you. I want to be able to see you. So we spent, 45 minutes trying to catch like 6 fish in a 4x4 pond. It sounds like it should be easy, but it wasn't, because of the very thing that we do to the Father. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did? Hid. And the Father didn't separate himself. He actually walks through the garden. He's like, where are you? I actually want to be with you. Why are you hiding? So we finally get the fish. And I'll tell you, you've seen a fish out of water. Like, you get that fish, and he's in the net, and he's flailing because he thinks death is coming. And then he gets laid into the water, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what was I fighting? What was I fighting that whole time? I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of discomfort. There was a little discomfort. There was a time where he couldn't breathe. Do you ever feel like that in life when the Lord, when the Father's dealing with you? I can't breathe in this thing. You're choking me. And then he lays you down in peaceful waters and you just take him in and you're like, wait, oh, I wasted so much time burying myself under rocks in self-preservation mode when life was there for the taking, for the giving of the Father. Beautiful judgment leads to mercy and grace. And if you look through the scriptures, there's so many times, I mean, more times than not, that mercy and grace are actually paired. Let's look at one. Let's look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 4. We'll start in verse 10. For the one who has entered his rest is Jesus. The one who has entered Jesus. Let's do it accurately. For the one who has entered Jesus has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Let us be diligent to enter what? Jesus. So that no one will fall. And through the same example of disobedience, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and above, and able to, what's the word there? Judge. So the judgment comes first. The thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great and high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot, and this is awesome, sympathize. Some versions say is not compassionate. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. This really should encourage you, because the one bringing judgment to you has walked a mile in your shoes. And then a mile ahead of you. He knows. And this is really where it gets really cool. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive what? Mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy and grace are not separated. So mercy is the thing where he looks upon us and he says, oh, this situation is not good for you. The mercy part is him dipping that net in and taking you out of it. And the grace part is putting you in a place and filling himself with you. See, God does that. It would be bad for him just to show us mercy. It would not be good for him just to show us mercy. Because in that showing of us of mercy, we almost become entitled to the thing we're showing mercy for. He's always going to show us mercy. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't want that. What we want is for him to show us mercy, use that fishnet, take us out of that thing, and then show us grace and put us in him. That fully envelops us in him, and that's grace. Grace is his download into you to do everything that you have been called to do. In the easiest ways, that's the easiest way I can explain it. That's mercy and grace. But it comes from judgment. It comes from him looking at our situation and saying, this thing is going to kill you. I want you to live. So I don't want you to be afraid of judgment. I don't want you to be afraid of judgment. Because without that experience, you're never going to experience the mercy and grace part. And I want us to be confident in how we judge. Look, and we went over this on Wednesday. If we could only judge righteously, the way Jesus taught, I mean, he said, oh, if you would judge rightly. It's not that he doesn't want us to judge. He wants us to do it as a loving father would. And a loving father always attaches mercy and grace to judgment. Always. So you should have confidence in this, that the very throne room that you enter is a throne room that is going to extend grace to you and give you mercy. Now, I want to pray. Because I think that there, and this is when I start, like, this is where I was thinking yesterday, and I started crying. I was crying earlier, and now I'm going to start crying again. I'm sorry, you deal with it. But I think there's so many areas in our lives that we need to like pray over so that you can experience mercy and grace. Mercy in that, Lord, would you look at this situation and could you do something? And grace, fill it up with the Lord. Like, don't fill it up with more money, and don't fill it up with a better job, or don't fill it up with, like, anything that's not you. But grace is, could you fill everything that's missing in this area? Could you fill it up with Jesus? Could you fill it up with Jesus? I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's our finance. Well, it is. It's our finances, and it's our health, and it's our relationships, and it's our, and we're so used to, like, swimming around and the pond is leaking and death is coming, and we're so comfortable here that we'll dig under our rocks, and he just wants to bring us life, and he wants to fill us up. And that's what I want to pray over. Now, this is what you're going to have to do, though. You're going to have to accept it. You can't value your dignity over your breakthrough. You can't. At some point, you're going to continue. Well, I want to have my dignity. And breakthrough is just right here.
Thanks for being with us as we encounter and reveal the person of Jesus. To connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.